sure if you got the packages up here, Sherry. I saw. And everybody knows her, except maybe one or two of you out there may not know her. All filled back there drowning yourself. Elf, don't. I mean, she's not that bad. No, it's Lindsay. I'm sorry, Lindsay. Did you see what Phil tried to do? Drown himself? I think you were coming up. That's not nice. Now, come on, Lindsay. I'll protect you, honey.
This is magic. Michael brought this magic tonight. We're going to see if it works. The world's smallest recorder.
Now, Phil, don't be nasty like that anymore. She brought some kind of equipment. I don't know what it is. Phil.
I don't really need that light at all. But
such a beacon.
Just do without it. Good evening. I would like to start by telling a God story. I was scheduled to give this talk 2 weeks ago on February the 23rd. And the God story is that I got bronchitis. And the reason that's a God story is because I was forced to cancel because I was ill. And I was postponed for 2 weeks, and Dan Hare gave the talk last week. And the true God story is that Dan Hare gave my talk. But the reason that's a good thing is because we give talks so differently, Dan and I, that he gave the talk that I won't be giving, but it was on the topic that I will be giving. And his talk was important as a foundation for my talk, for those of you who heard them both, or will have heard them both. I'd like to recap Dan's talk briefly, if I may. He said he wanted to talk about man's relationship with God. And then he said his background was thus. His father didn't go to church. His mother found it important that her children have choices in church, so they went to several before they settled on the Episcopal Church. And Dan developed a personal relationship with God, including inviting Jesus into his life as his personal savior at some point. And then Dan went to Bible school and learned all that wonderful stuff that he shared with us last week about man's relationship to God in the biblical context. My story is this. My dad didn't go to church. My mother thought that we should have choice in the churches we chose, or in the church that we went to, so she took us to several and we chose the Episcopal Church. I was raised in the Episcopal Church. And when I was 17 and in high school, I invited Jesus into my life to be my personal savior. And then I did not go to Bible school. However, it's an interesting set of parallels that got Dan and I to think about our relationships with God. Dan went on to say that Adam and Eve made choices independently that caused their fall from grace, that we all get to make choices, whether they be good ones or bad ones, that they lead us into quote-unquote sin or evil, or they lead us into a closer relationship with God, that man is shipwrecked, and that God is the glue that uses the glue of love to put the shipwreck of man back together again. Now, and he also said that Jesus acts as a bridge between man and God. And then he concluded by saying that the noise of the world gets in the way of our relationship with God, that there are insights, vision, joy that God wants us to have, but we miss them because we're distracted by the world and the noise in the world. Now, all of that is interesting, and some of it's actually relevant to what I want to say tonight. So let's start out by thinking about the idea of relationships. Bring to mind, if you will, your relationship with your birth mother. Now, is this someone that you fear, live in trepidation of, haven't seen for years, never knew because she gave you up for adoption, loathe and despise because she tries to run your life? Or is this someone who is your best friend, you talk to her every day, you trust her with your deepest secrets, and would do anything for her? Just, you don't have to answer out loud, as Millie would say. Now bring to your mind your relationship with your father, birth father, let's say, or father that raised you, either one. Would you say that your father was a workaholic and never home? Or would you say that he was there for you whenever you needed him? Or would you say that you wished you knew him better because you didn't take the opportunities to explore your relationship? Or would you say that you knew and supported your father's dreams and wishes? And now bring to mind a relationship with a significant other or a friend. All of those same questions from mothers and fathers apply, of course, with a few additional ones. Would you do anything for this person? Would you give up your life in aid of this person if asked to do so? Would you not give up your life? Would you not trust this person? Hopefully, if it's a significant other or a friend, the answer to that question would be, of course you would trust them, but you never know. Would you loan them money, or would you allow them to loan you money? What about a mentor? Somebody like, let's say, Reverend Millie. What's your relationship with your mentor or with Reverend Millie? Do you allow her to love you first, or do you allow her to love you at all? Do you follow her guidance or walk in her footsteps, or do you think, yeah, that's nice, but I don't really believe everything she says and I'm going to do my own thing anyway? Well, you can sort of see where I'm going with this. Finally, before we get on to the biggie, I want to talk about our relationships with ourselves. So bring to mind your relationship with yourself for a moment. Do you think, when you think of your relationship with yourself, I really like me? I'm proud of where I've come from and where I've arrived. I'm happy with the path that I'm walking. I'm certainly making a difference in this world. Or do you think, I'm too fat? I'm getting old and can't do any of the things I once could do, and even then there weren't too many of those. I wish I were more helpful to my friends. I wish I returned my emails, etc., etc., etc. Now, some of those examples of our relationships were actually some of my own, but many of them were not. I'll just say that. So what is a relationship? A relationship is, I didn't even look this up in the dictionary, I just know a relationship is whenever we have to interact in some way with another something. It may be a someone or it may be a something. And what is interaction? It's whatever we want a relationship to look like. So of course the final question of all of that bring to mind is, bring to mind your relationship with God. Does it match or follow along with any of the ones we've previously discussed? Is God to you like a mother that abandoned you at birth, or like a mother that you call every day and can't wait to talk to and trust with your deepest secrets? Is God like a workaholic father who's never there for you? Or is God someone who shows you how to play ball and plays catch with you whenever you ask? Is God like a lover or a friend that you can't get enough of and want to spend time with and feel joyful when you're around? Or is God like a mentor who you know loved you first and you respect and trust and will follow whatever God says to do? Or is God like your relationship with yourself, which is kind of tormented, let's say, and some days it's good and some days it's bad and some days it's, oh, I'm so grateful to have this relationship and I love my relationship with God, and some days it's, I'm too fat, I'm too old, I don't believe that God loves me. Well, it could be any of these things, and each one of us has to come to our own definition of our relationship with each of the people mentioned, with ourselves, and with God. But I wanted to talk specifically tonight about my relationship with God and put it in something of a historical context a little bit, maybe. So the questions are, for me, how did I come to my relationship with God? What do I see it as being at this time, or for the most part of my life, let's say? And what do I want it to become, and how can I change it if I want to? Okay, how did I get here? Well, I shared with you the parallels between my life and Dan's. I was raised in the Episcopal Church. The Episcopal Church believes that Jesus is God incarnate, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, from John in the Bible. I had a real hard time with that. I didn't get that Jesus and God, the concept of the Trinity, were the same thing. I thought about Jesus as being a man, and it never made sense to me when I was in the Episcopal Church that Jesus was also God, because Jesus was no different than I was. Wait a minute, that maybe means I could be God too. So I was very close to God and not so close to Jesus. And even when I got down on my knees at the age of 17 and invited Jesus into my life to be my personal Savior, I didn't know what I was doing, and it didn't change my life at that time in any measurable or recognizable way. I never went to another of those meetings after I said the fated words. It was only, quite literally, a couple weeks ago, as I was preparing for this talk, that I realized that I meant it then, and it worked for me from then to now. That Jesus has been in my life as my personal Savior, regardless of the fact that I didn't have a close relationship with Jesus. To me, Jesus is kind of like an older brother. Interesting that I should choose older brother, since my older brother and I are not too close either. But I have a respect for him, an admiration for him, a belief in his teachings. But I can do what Jesus does. He's just a little farther along the path. He's no more nor less God than I am. That's my belief. And when I found this church, that belief was supported by the Reverend Milley. Now, I strayed away from my relationship with God for several years in my 20s and 30s. I worshipped at the altar of cerveza, shall we say. Well, that too, but that's my other church today. Baseball is my other church today. In my 20s and 30s, I worshipped at the altar of cerveza. And you know, when you are kneeling in front of the commode, which is how you pray when you worship at the altar of cerveza, there's not a lot of time for God except, oh God, help me get through this, you know. So it was a great joy to me when in my late 30s I rose above that particular habit and recognized that I am a spiritual being having a physical experience, rather than, as they say, a physical being having a spiritual experience. So I reconnected with God to such a degree that in about 1992, a psychologist who was doing a personality assessment using something called the Mandala Assessment Research Instrument, which is really a set of shapes and colors, and you put them together and they mean things, okay? But I put my shapes and colors together and she laid them out and looked at what they meant, and she said, oh my goodness, you're not from here, are you? And then she went on, no, I'm not, quite real. But she went on to say, and you're homesick for where you are from, aren't you? And I had that confirmational shiver that you get when you know the truth has been spoken. And it was like, yeah, and you know where I am from is I'm from God. I'm from close to God, and to come into this life, in this body, on this planet, at this time, is really a challenge when you want to be like this with God. And I have always recognized, even when I was drinking, that my relationship with God is like a poem by a 13th century Persian mystic called Hafiz. And he wrote, as translated by Daniel Ladinsky, God and I are like two giant fat people in a tiny boat. We keep bumping into each other and laughing. I think of sumo wrestlers in a sabbath, you know. I'm just like this with God, like chest bumping with God, you know. And every time we do it, we laugh because I'm having such a good time relating to God since I rediscovered my relationship with God. But is that all there is? And what is a relationship with God anyway, you know? Well, people have been talking about relationships with God for centuries. As early as the 8th century, I'm sure I have my centuries right. Yep, that's 8, 13, 5. Okay. I brought a lot of notes. And bear with me if I recite these somewhat rhythmically because they're all songs and the CD is in my car. In the 8th century, an ancient Irish hymn, translated in 1905, "Be thou my vision. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be all else but not to me. Be everything but nothing, save that thou art." That's such a strange lyric, but be everything but nothing. It's enough that you are, is what they're saying. "Be thou my best thought in the day and the night, both waking and sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word. Be thou ever with me, and I with thee, Lord. Be thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Be thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one." This is a prayer from the 8th century saying, God, be with me. Be what I need when I need you. The next verse is, God, be my defense when I need defending. Be thou my breastplate, my sword for the fight. Be thou my whole armor, be thou my true might. Be thou my soul's shelter, be thou my strong tower. O raise thou me heavenward, great power of my power. So, in history, men and women have been asking God to be with us, to be our true vision, to be our defense, to be our Father. Which is all very well and good if we think of God as a human being. Makes perfectly good sense to me. God can be a soldier in my army. God can be a father in my family. God can be my defender and my true might. God can be my power. But let's hold that thought. Is God a human being? Another song from the 13th century, "As the bridegroom to his chosen, as the king unto his realm, as the keeper to the castle, as the pilot to the helm, as the captain to his soldiers, as the shepherd to his lambs, so Lord art thou to me." Rather than being a prayer for what we want our relationship with God to be, as in "Be thou my vision," this is more a description of what one poet's relationship with God is. "As the fountain in the garden, as the candle in the dark, as the treasure in the coffer, as the manna in the ark, as the firelight in the winter, as the sunlight in the spring, so Lord art thou to me." In every one of these examples, the bridegroom and his chosen, the king and the realm, the God part of the equation is an essential and inseparable part of the human part. The candle in the dark. Sorry. Life would be less fulfilling, rewarding, joyful without the candle in the dark. Life would be less fulfilling, rewarding, joyful without the firelight in the winter or the fountain in the garden. And to me, this song or poem doesn't require that God be a human being. Now, I want to talk about this concept of God as a human being a little bit, because it is one of the hard spots I have in my relationship with God. We have, over the centuries, even before Jesus, anthropomorphized God. You know, it's been said that God created us in His image. Well, the fact of the matter is, we created God in ours. And for many of us, we were raised with the idea that God is a mature gentleman with a beard sitting on a cloud, and that individual is going to be our breastplate and shield, that individual is going to be the bridegroom if we're the chosen, that individual is going to be the candle in the dark. But is that real? Can we really get a grip on that? When Millie says, hold tight to the finger of God, is that the finger we're holding on to? The finger that's on the hand of some mature gentleman on a cloud? Doesn't work for me. I don't know about you. So, what does work for me? Well, God is love, it says. And I don't know if that's actually in the Bible or if it's just that God and love are so often equated in the Bible that God is love has come to be known as the truth. What if God, instead of being in the shape of a human being, is just energy? What if God is a force, a concept, an energy, a universal, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent something that we can't really describe? Well, for me, that works a lot better than a God that's a man on a cloud, you know? I mean, maybe I can't describe it like I can the features of the man on the cloud, but maybe I can experience it more readily. Maybe I can relate to it more easily if it is just that thing we call love. So how does this "be thou my vision" work if every time it said "thou," I put in love? Be love my vision. Be love my best thought in the day and the night. Both waking and sleeping, love's presence my light. Be love my wisdom, be love my true word. Be love ever with me and I with thee, love. Be love my great father and I thy true son. Be love in me dwelling and I with thee one. Yeehaw. That feels good. That feels really good. I can get behind that. I can experience that. I can support that and I can preach that. Then there's the problem of Clint Black, who said, love's not something that we say, it's something that we do. So is it enough to just say, okay, God is love, and love, I'm going to ask you to be in me, and whatever that means, I'm going to replace God, and I'm going to replace Jesus, and I'm going to replace Christ, by the way, with the word love. And every time I hear a prayer, I'm going to say, love is what I'm after. But am I doing something about it? Am I acting on that? Or am I just holding tight to the finger of an energy? By the way, I don't have all the answers. That's one of the questions without one. But it's something to think about. And then what do you do? What do you do? How do you be love? How do you relate to God? You know, the idea of relating to God is so silly when you think about it. We relate to God as if God's out there. Even if we relate to God as an energy and not as a human being, we still think of God as being out there somewhere. How do you have a relationship with something that's not out there? Well, what if God's in here? What if God and my relationship with God are more like my relationship with myself than it is like my relationship with my mother or Reverend Millie or a friend? What if I have to relate to God from the inside out instead of from the outside in? And what does that look like in the doing? The only answer I have to that is the most magical moment in musical theater, in Les Miserables, when Jean Valjean sings, to love another person is to see the face of God. We all know what loving feels like. We've all experienced loving. Now, it might have been only with a pet for some of us. It might have been only with Reverend Millie. It might be with significant others or children of our own or of someone else's. It might be with friends or relatives, our mother, our father, our older brother. But we've all experienced love in some fashion as a giver of it. If we're equally blessed in this life, we've also experienced loving as a receiver of it. And if you're in this room, then I can swear that you have, because the Reverend Millie is in this room with you, and she has loved each and every one of us. And if you haven't experienced it, you haven't been paying attention. So we've all done love, right, as givers and receivers. We've all been in the presence of God. We've all been joined with God. We've all had God within us as love that we can give and as love that we can receive. Now, I said that I wanted to talk a little bit about what I wanted my relationship with God to be like and how I could effect it if it isn't what I wanted it to be. And I also said there were no answers for all the questions. But I want my relationship with God to be everything that I've described. I want to feel like God and I are not two giant fat people in a tiny boat. I want us to feel like one giant fat person in a tiny boat, bumping into everything around me and laughing. I want to be, as St. Patrick said he wanted to be on his breastplate in the 5th century, "Christ be with me." Remember, we're substituting love for Christ every time we hear the word. So do that in your head. "Christ be with me. Christ be within me. Christ behind me. Christ before me. Christ beside me. Christ to win me. Christ to comfort me. Christ above me. Christ in quiet. Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me. Christ in mouth of friend and stranger." I want love literally every which where around me, in me, of me, beside me, before me, behind me, below me. 7 directions in the Native American tradition and more. I want love there. I want God there. I want Christ there. Now, each and every one of us has the opportunity to follow the path that I followed tonight. We can consider our relationships with human beings. We've done that, haven't we? We can consider our relationships with ourselves. That sometimes is scary, but it's well worth pursuing. We can consider our relationships with God. We can consider our definition of God. What is God anyway? Do you see it as I do, as an energy, as a love energy that's all pervasive and all around us and not something that's separate from me, but something that is inside of me and that is mine to use or not? If so, then I hope you'll join me in saying this little prayer from the 16th century. "God be in my head. God be in my head and in my understanding. God be in my eyes and in my looking. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in my heart and in my thinking. God be at my end and in my departing. God bless you all.
Hope it works.